I'm Betsy Payette. Marilyn McCartney and I are interviewing personnel who were or who are instrumental in developing Renfrew Museum and Park. Today is Thursday, March 11, 1993, and we are interviewing Paula Smith. She was employed by Renfrew Museum and Park with the title of Curatorial Assistant from March through June of 1975, the beginning months of its operation as a museum. Paula, how did you learn about the Renfrew post?
I answered an advertisement in the Waynesboro paper the time when I was looking for a job. It applied to Dick Miller. It sounded very interesting, and it sounded something I would like to do to get off, you know, get something off the ground, to start from the very, very beginning. And I liked, and when Dick brought me out here, I liked the whole concept. I loved the house and the idea behind it. And Dick was very positive about it. He was real enthused. The pay wasn't real great, so that was not a big contributing factor to accepting the position. But, you know, just the whole concept really made me want to do it.
Okay, and what is your background in, are you into antiques and museums or teaching, or what is your background?
Well, at that time, I had a bachelor's degree in social studies in history, American history major. Had a love of antiques, collected a few, gone to a few auctions and antiques, and knew a little bit about antiques. I've always been interested in historical sites, and wanted to learn a lot more about antiques and about history, and so there's always been a bit of interest there for me.
And what was your initial reaction to Renfrew when you began working here?
Overwhelmed.
I can understand that.
It was in a complete state of just teardown. The inside was practically gutted. They had a good bit of the work done, but it was still very crude. The paintings, you know, the painting had started, the reconstruction was started, and but it took a lot of imagination to see it as it could be. I enjoyed watching the process and to see how it was progressing. And I have a lot of hopes for what it could be.
Do you remember anything particular about the painting or the reconstruction? Any special things that you remember about that?
Well, the kitchen impressed me very much. I loved the big kitchen and the fireplace, and I loved the way, you know, I was impressed with how they had scraped down the walls and got to the paintings and got to some of the original colors, the style. They tried to make it as authentic as possible.
And the partition was taken away by the time you got here. There had been a partition to divide the kitchen into two parts.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you got
mm-hmm.
here, that partition
right.
was gone
mm-hmm.
and was being restored to original
right.
kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And any of the other rooms that you can remember?
I guess they were all pretty well basically there. It was just a lot of the finishing work that had to be done in the finishing center. The living room was... I liked that. That was, again, the furniture wasn't there, it was just basic. And then there was a little room in the back, I think they had, was the office or the little den or birthing room, I think they had called it at that time. Then upstairs with the den and the bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty well basic at that time.
Are there any other rooms that you remember specifically?
No, for the gallery, I remember that was pretty much stable. I understand now it's a rotating. When I was here, we kept the Joan Bell pottery in that room. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't any change at all when I was here to do that.
And you were here for the official opening in April then.
Yes.
Can you remember anything about the official opening?
Yes, well, we had sent out invitations to a lot of people on the board, and one of the ladies that was a volunteer did cakes, and had this huge cake with a picture. She drew a picture of Renfrew on this cake that we passed out. We had the reception up in the gallery at that time. We had the tours for different, I guess, big shots mm-hmm. in town.
Was there any difficulty in getting into the house? Was it still being fixed up when this officially opened, or was it pretty much ready?
It was pretty much ready. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have any misgivings about coming to Renfrew to work?
No, not at all.
Good.
No, I you know, as with any new job, you always feel a little apprehension. Can you do it? Can you do it? But I just felt, you know, it was, the pace was slow enough. It wasn't as if it was a real high powered thing that, you know, it was learning. Everybody was learning with it at the same time. So I didn't feel under a lot of pressure to have, you know, things perfect and to know everything about everything. And Peggy was very helpful, and she helped me along, and Dick Miller was very supportive. And so I didn't feel the pressure of the other than normal anxiety at all.
Did you ever get over the overwhelmed feeling?
Mm-hmm. I felt very comfortable with it after a while. If I got to know the place and know the security system, that I wouldn't blow the security system off if I walked around and got in a beam and stuff, you know. But I felt very comfortable with the house, and I felt very, just felt like I was a part of it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I lived there because it was so nice. It was really home.
Did you see the cat? Holly the cat? Was Holly around when you were there?
I don't know if she was.
A gray cat?
Yeah, yes, I come to think of that. I remember that. Kind of roamed around with some cat. She did the lady's cat.
Right,
yeah.
The last
mm-hmm.
cat that she
mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think she was around. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any feeling that there might be problems that would occur, and were there actually problems?
I think the delineation of duties and responsibilities might have been a problem. They weren't as clear-cut as what they should have been. I went in with a different set of expectations than I think other people had of me as far as what my duties would be. And that presented some problems after a while.
Were there any surprises about the job or about anything you did?
Surprises? No, not really. I was, I don't believe I had any surprises, any bad or good surprises. It was all pretty much, I was impressed with the plans that they had at that time, because it was very, with the parking area and the picnic area, I think that was beginning to shape up. The old homestead in the back, I think that was just kind of a dream at that time of what to do. And of course, this barn was nowhere, you know, in life, you know, it just wasn't, you know, said, oh, at some point we're going to have this ready for a visitor center. But that was just kind of a dream in the board's eyes. And I'm surprised now to see how far it's coming out.
What do you think was your most significant contribution or contributions while you were here?
I think just being here and getting the guides started, training the docents, getting them to know the house. Again, Peggy helped with that. She gave me the idea, some ideas, you know, the details on the furniture and things that should be brought out in training these guides. And I was very impressed with the amount of of people that wanted to do this as a volunteer. And I was also impressed with the amount of people that came here. Our schedules were almost practically full for the 3 days that we were open. We always had, I don't know if they still do it like that now, still by appointment.
No, we don't have to schedule tours now.
Okay.
People can come the days that it's open.
Okay. Well, so we had to schedule tours. We had, that was part of my duties, just to answer the phones and schedule the tours and to make sure we had the guides here. And we had pretty much a full house most of the days that we were open. And it was, we had groups with just individual families, and we'd get families that would picnic and would come up, and if we had openings, sure, we would take them. But that might have been a surprise that I neglected to say, because I was surprised at how well received the museum was.
Getting back to your training of the guides, then you worked out the program on your own.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As to what you did. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you go about training them?
Went through it with them. Started from the beginning. We had kind of a script, room by room script. Had the high points. Had the important items that they needed to call attention to. Hopefully had more extra facts that they would have in their head that if any questions were asked that they would be able to answer. And of course, if they couldn't, we would always have, we can find out if you're interested and write that down, and we can check into that. And then we just did it, just a walkthrough with them. And I thought they did quite well. The docents really seemed to know what they were talking about.
How many guides did you usually have working a day on a day that we were open?
I would say maybe two, three. The tours were every half hour, scheduled for every half hour. So we would, I would say they would last about 3 or 5 minutes, half hour, 3 or 5 minutes. So we would have 2 or 3 tours. We had a rotating schedule. I had made up schedules with the guides, too, that they knew when they were working.
And these were mainly people from the Waynesboro mm-hmm. area that were mm-hmm. interested in going.
Yeah. We had all ages, had some teenagers involved, too, because I remember there were a few teenage girls that were involved in this. Mainly women mm-hmm. that were doing this. And we remembered we got them into period costumes, too. They tried to go around.
Mm-hmm. So that was up to the individual
yes.
to wear a costume if
mm-hmm.
they cared to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was that of a period of time?
But, we tried to encourage it. And a lot of them had costumes out, but I guess there was a centennial or some kind of celebration that had been in the past. A lot of people had costumes in their closet from this celebration, so it wasn't a real hardship.
When you were training your guides, were most of the guides from the Historical Society, Waynesboro Historical Society?
Yes, I believe we started out with the Waynesboro Historical Society. That's where the interest was. But I do think as we went on, we got more outside mm-hmm. of the Historical Society. Like I said, there were some teenagers involved later on in the program.
Where did you get your source of information that you trained the guides?
Peggy gave me the specifics on a lot of the pieces. And there was the history that was written up about it. Gave a little bit about the Nicodemuses. Of course, I got that through Ed. And the rooms and the periods were mainly from Peggy. And also there was an extensive library that was available to me that I did a little more research on the specific pieces that were there, the period of the pieces, the uses, the functions, and just made up packets or information cards for the guide to look up if they needed more information. I remember that nice little office that was up there. I don't know if it's still there or not. Okay, they had a nice library of books. They had a nice little settee. I'd sit and read the books there and go through and Or else if it was a nice day, I'd go out and take it out on the porch downstairs and read. It was beautiful here in the spring and the summer. It was a lot offered to me to work. I didn't have to go out. Peggy, I guess, gave a lot of recommendations for books on decorative arts. And of course, the Historical Society, I got the histories.
Can you think of any special thing in the house that the people coming through the house were interested in, or any special item or furniture or anything particular?
Not really. The groups, you know, it just seemed to be that different people were, were impressed with many different things. A lot of people liked the kitchen because of the big fireplace and the authenticity of the old pots and utensils. And then there were the people that were impressed with the Bell pottery, the collection that they had there, and then also the rooms that were a little, the elegance of some of the pieces and the way it was furnished. And I think it was comments made about the draperies, the way they had the draperies. Oh, that's what they did for curtains. And Peggy really tried to make it as authentic as possible. She had the fabrics, sent away for the fabrics, and had them done elsewhere that people were familiar with how they made drapes at that time. The fabrics that were used, the colors that were used. And she really strove for authenticity.
Now, this is authenticity for a time period of around 1830, when the house was
I think
was
it was early 18. I was under the impression it was for the early 1800s, okay, and also the period of a more well-to-do family, because it was made clear that the furnishings and the pieces were not of the ordinary family, that they were, you know, people that were the wealthier farmers or the wealthier merchants, but this was not a middle-class family of the time.
So the furniture and the furnishings would have been from the early 1800s back, perhaps into the late 1700s?
That's the impression that I have gotten. I have worked on the early 1800s. At the time period that the family, the impression we were trying to come across, that this was that time period, and the family is out visiting, and we're taking them through their house. And this is how they lived at that time.
Did you have any disappointments about your job?
Well, pay, for one. But that's, you know. And I think that I wasn't able to work longer with it. You know, circumstances didn't need to work a little longer. To work with the toys, not really off the ground.
Now, I said you would work through June, and you said you thought perhaps it was in August rather than
July or August
of that year, 1971. Mm-hmm. Would you do it again if you had a chance?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, looking back on it, I'd see things. Yes, I would do it again. Looking back, I know there are some changes I would make, but I feel very proud and fortunate to have been part of this in the infant stages and to see how it's grown, and I'm very impressed with what has been done. I could say I really feel that I contributed to what it is today.
Well, thank you very much for coming, driving down from your home, Mechanicsburg. We appreciate your effort to come, and thanks again for
coming. Thanks for the invitation.